Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, our law firm is Bell and Pollock. In our day lives, we're injury attorneys. In our radio lives, right here, we're here for you on any legal subject. Doesn't matter if we're injury attorneys, we can talk to you about any subject you like. Telephone number 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. If you've been listening to our show, you know we're a law talk show. We help people with the law, help them solve their problems, answer their questions. This is not a political show. If you're a new listener, welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We talk law on any legal subject. 303-713-8255. We also do a variety of injury shows. This isn't one of them, but we do a variety of injury shows that air on different venues in Colorado. And we also do our Champions of the People injury show 1 hour long every weekend on different venues in Colorado. And today on KOA, 850 a.m., 10 to 11, every Saturday morning, 10 to 11, we're doing our Champions of the People injury show. And we're talking about, you know, when you have treatment, medical treatment, you're injured in an accident, you get medical treatment. Well, how does the insurance company look at that? And how do they attack that? And what do they do? And what can you do to prevent it? And how can you win that war? So if you want to know the answers to those questions and more, listen to our Champions of the People injury show today, KOA, 8:50 a.m., 10 to 11. You'll get that. And then in Steamboat Springs on KBCR following this show, we're talking about hit and run on our Champions of the People injury show. Also, in Craig, Colorado, at 8 o'clock this morning, we're talking about hit and run, everything you ever wanted to know, what you do as a victim, what you don't do as a victim, how does it really, really work, what are the insurance coverages. So those are on KBCR at 8 o'clock and KRAI at 8 o'clock in Craig, Colorado. And in Colorado Springs today at 11 o'clock, we're talking about insurance coverage and damages. I mean, you have certain damages. What are your damages? We have medical bills. Are they covered? How do insurance coverages work for that? How do lost wages work? If you want to know, listen to our show today, 11 o'clock, KRDO. Okay, our website, right? championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. All right, today's subject is a very interesting subject, incredible subject, when you look into this. And we've received questions over the years about sealing court records with regard to felonies and misdemeanors. How do you seal a court record? How do you sort of expunge it, get rid of it, seal it? And how does it never come up? How do you protect it where it never comes up and affects you again once you've been convicted? And, Brad, the history in Colorado has been really something. It's been a colorful statutory history over the years. But now we've got a new act, a new statute that flips the coin and basically allows you to seal convictions. And it even says it's retroactive, and there's no case law interpreting that.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of an interesting subject because it has flipped the analysis to a presumption that you're eligible for sealing your record, or somebody who's been convicted of a crime is eligible sealing a record. That's the ability to seal Class 2 and 3 misdemeanor and drug misdemeanors. It can be done 2 years after the final disposition, and it's Class 4, 5, and 6 felonies, and Class 1 misdemeanors, and Class 3 and 4 drug felonies, 3 years after final disposition. And, you know, that's a lot of, like, 3, 4, 5, and I know I'm throwing out a lot of that, but the bottom line is that it's much easier to seal a record now, and seal your record. There are some that still are not eligible for sealing your record. There are some crimes that you're still not eligible to have your record sealed. A good defense attorney is going to know this and is going to talk to you about it and discuss it. You got to remember, even deferred judgments, if you have a deferred judgment of any type, you've got to understand that it may not be able to be sealed, or you may have to go through a process to get it sealed, and that's where there was actually you had no conviction. So there's a number of rights you want to look at, or abilities you want to look at, and why is this so important? And that's where we get down to. We can go through the processes, but why it's so important is because we're talking about applications for job, qualifying for jobs. What do you have to put on your job application? Firearms. Are you able to carry a firearm? And whether or not you're able to have possession of a firearm, what might be the situation? information on that. What happens if you've got it sealed and there's a subsequent crime committed or a subsequent accusation of a crime committed, and what can be done with that? So there's a lot of questions that come up on sealing a record and why you may want to get it sealed, and you may want to take action now for the fact that it's become much easier, and as you said, Gary, it's retroactive.
It's retroactive, and so, and it's not really defined what retroactive means, but if you have an older criminal conviction, because the statute seems to lend itself and guide itself and target itself on convictions, not like deferred judgments, not like deferred prosecutions, and it's a complicated statute, but if you got a criminal conviction that you're wanting to get sealed or you have questions on it, you need to you can call us or ourselves, but you need to talk to an attorney, and you need to talk to an attorney in detail. And it might cost some money because they got to look into the details and the background. But the point of the matter is, with this checkered, colorful history in Colorado with regard to sealing criminal convictions, you know, it went back to 1977 where the statute says you could seal all criminal records, including convictions. That was in 77, all criminal records. Then it got turned on its head. In 1988, the legislature reversed course and excluded certain individuals being convicted of offenses from eligibility. Okay, then in 2008, it changed again, and you could just seal some drug convictions, some of them, right? And then in 2012, it changed again. 2013, it changed again. 2016, and now we're up to the current statute. And so a lot of people ask the question, well, I'm applying for employment. I don't want my criminal conviction to show up on a criminal background check. So that is covered in this new statutory scheme and the statutory process. Brad, and then there's a procedure. I mean, we're talking about this, and we're educating you this morning on sealing criminal convictions. But believe me, this statute is complicated. It has a lot of nuances. It talks about class one, class two felonies are handled differently than three and four, than five and six, and misdemeanors. Point of the matter is that's complicated. The point of the matter is that needs to be looked into. But the point of the matter is also, as Brad just said, that it is now devised, and the presumption is, and Brad, let's talk about presumption. The presumption is that you can exclude or protect or seal the conviction when, as before you couldn't, as I just went through that history.
Right. If you don't fall within one of the specific exceptions that there are to the statute, then yes, you're going to be able to seal your record, or you're actually eligible for sealing your record. But that's going to be something that I think you want to do. If you have a criminal background or criminal history, and for any particular purpose, or if just generally, I think you ought to try to get your record sealed if you can. Call an attorney and go over it with them and find out what you can do. Because remember, this is retroactive. It can cover crimes that were committed for a long time. You've been living with this on your record, and get it sealed. Get yourself more eligible to do more things and to be able to be more eligible for jobs, and take the process. Go through the process.
All right, we've got a break coming up. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We're here for you. You can call us on any legal subject, 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. And our website, championsofthepeople.com. Don't forget, we have 6 books on our website. They're free to you. You can download an e-copy free. And if you want a hard copy, all you have to do is call our law firm. Contact our law firm. We'll be glad to send you a hard copy. We did some last week. And we have a new book in the works on premises liability. We're going to talk a little bit about that. So you can call us, Bell and Pollock. We'll be right back.
Never have to worry about what is worse or what is best. Do it. Oh, come in.
Alright, here we go. Welcome back. Fasten your seatbelt. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. We talk law here. It's a law talk show. You can call us right now, 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. We'll be glad to answer your question on any legal subject, and we want to welcome all of our listeners. KHOW in Denver, KRDO in Colorado Springs, KEZZ, 94.1 FM in Steamboat Springs, and KRAI in Craig, Colorado. You folks can call us, and thank you for being listeners on the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Speaking of listeners, we're going to talk to a listener right now, Lillian from Denver. She has a question on her bank and moving her money. Good morning, Lillian.
Hi, thank you so much for talking to me. Listen, I have an interesting question.
All righty.
I went to the bank to make a withdrawal. The withdrawal was denied, and I was told that I needed specific documents before I could make a withdrawal from the account, and I did come back in with those documents and was able to get the money out of the bank. But when I put the money in the new bank, they needed to know where the money came from. And I asked the old bank, the old bank moved the money in the account to a different account, and they cannot give me verification of exactly where the money came from, and that's causing me a problem, and I'm wondering how I proceed with that. What remedies do I have against the bank that they move that money against my wishes and now will not document where the money came from?
Okay, so I'm going to, this, you've got me very curious. So you go to bank, the new bank, and the new bank says they need to know where the money came from?
Yes, they need to know the source of the money before I have complete authorization to use it.
The source of the money.
Was this a large sum of cash?
Yes. No, it was not cash. It was a cashier's check.
Oh. Well, that doesn't make sense. I've never heard of a bank saying they need to know where the money comes from.
But the new bank won't do anything with your money until you tell them the source of the money, where the money came from?
They're saying that would be helpful, but my problem is that the old bank moved it without my permission.
Lillian, they moved it from where to where? What do you understand they did?
I had two accounts within the bank. Mm-hmm. They moved it, and they were separate accounts. They moved it from one account to the other account without my permission.
Did they do it to cover an overdraft? Like on one account, did you have a check that needed to be covered by, and it was overdrafted, so they were moving it over to pay for it?
No.
They just put the money from one account to another without your permission.
Right. And when I went, go ahead.
I'm going to say they can't do that unless you know, on the terms of the accounts that you opened up. You know, there's a lot of fine print that you got to read and understand. Mm-hmm. The banks don't have the right to just start transferring money back and forth among accounts without permission.
Well, and it also depends on the language on that card, but I'm sorry, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, that's my problem. I did not think that they could do that, but they obviously did. So the way they transferred it, they said it was a wire transfer, and there should be paperwork as to who authorized it and when, and I should be able to get a copy of that, but they cannot provide me any information about who
they meaning the old bank, ma'am?
Yes, the old bank. Yes.
They can't provide you any information. Okay.
Do you have anybody else on these accounts?
No, just me.
Just you?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I'm stunned. I'm sitting here actually. I've been taking calls on Saturday mornings for over 20 years. I've never even heard of this.
I haven't either. But so they won't tell you where the source. The new bank wants to know the source. So but where is it now? Do you have access to your money? I mean, is the problem resolved or not?
know the problem. It is not resolved.
Well, what is the problem now? Well, I mean, what is the problem? Okay.
The problem for me, again, is the old bank. If they can, when I make a withdrawal, there has to be something that I signed. If I didn't sign it, someone else had to sign it or authorize it. If the old bank can't provide me written documentation, this problem can go away. But they refuse. They said they just don't know who moved the money.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, you know, so far, have you been able to document if you've lost any money, though? Have you moved your money from the old bank to the new bank? Did you move all of it?
No, there's still a little amount in the old bank.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And with regard to that old bank, they still won't give you an accounting of how they've handled your money.
No, that's my problem. I have no, my accountant has let me know, you're going to need information on where this money came from. And I just have not been able to get that. And I'm wondering what can happen to me.
I want to tell you, I am aware of a situation where a bank lost a deposit and it took them over 6 months to find the deposit and explain what they had done with the transfer of money. Supposedly took it out of one account and were supposed to put it in another. This is a different case. We're supposed to put it in another, and they lost the transfer and they couldn't account for it actually went on for almost 9 months. So your situation can happen, but the bank shouldn't be ignoring you. They should be very alerted over the fact that they've transferred money without your authority, because here's the question. Is there a forgery on the account? Is somebody else managing the account? Has somebody found a way to transfer money on your accounts? And what's happened to your money? And a full accounting of where your money is. Banks have to do that. They don't have the right to just be transferring around your money between your accounts without telling you what's going on. And if somebody did that, you need to know, because that means somebody's hacked your accounts possibly. And that could be a problem. So I'm very concerned about it. It doesn't sound like you've lost any money right now. But you know, correct me if I'm wrong, is there unaccounted for funds? Do you think you should have more money than what the bank says you have?
The only problem is that this transaction was done, and I don't know how, I don't know why, can't be provided any information. I don't want to leave the bank, but I don't want this to happen again.
Right, but Lillian, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you have access to your money now?
No.
You don't have access. And do you think you have lost some money along the way?
The only thing that I've lost is the use of the money while it's been tied up.
Okay, tell me, why do you not have access to your money? What have you been told? What has happened?
The new bank is telling me, okay, well, you can take the money. We suggest that you don't take it until it's properly verified. And if you do take it and there's a problem, we can withdraw the transaction at any time.
So they won't get you access to your money. You can't use it. You can't write checks on it. You can't deposit it. You can't transfer it. Am I saying this right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're saying it right. You're as stunned as I am, Gary. I mean, this is going to take some research and find out. Do you have personal bankers at each bank? Do you have people who are trying to help you, go-to people, names of people and their phone numbers or email addresses?
I did put in a complaint, and I was just told that I'm concerned as to what I can do, because I'm being told, like you said, okay, that cannot happen, but it has, and I need to know how to proceed.
Okay, Lillian, I think we can help you. If you don't mind leaving your contact information with Ryan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be glad to help you. We'll be glad to get hold of you this week and get down to the nitty-gritty and see if we can get this money access for you.
All right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out what's going on this. I mean, this isn't right.
Right. So we got a break coming up, but if you give Ryan your information, we'll be glad to call you this week, and we'll help you, and we so much appreciate your call, ma'am.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Don't forget about the show that follows our show. That's the Consumer Real Estate Show. Very informative. They usually have guests. They talk about everything from interest rates to mortgages to trends in the market, seller's tips, buyer's tips. Very experienced. That's the show that follows our show, Barry and Larry. So you want to listen to that show. This show, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, as you know, is a law talk show. We're here for you, and we'll be here when we come right back.
It all seems like yesterday, not far away. Tropical, the island breeze, all of nature wild and free. This is where I long to be, La Isla Bonita. And when the summer played.
All right, here we go. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You know, you can call us on any question, even though we're injury attorneys in our day lives, right here, right now, 303-713-8255. And it's now time to talk to Eric from Catlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Good. We're doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, we're ready to rock and roll over here. We got everything fired up. The fryer's on. The griddles are on. The lights in the dining room are on, and everything is available. And like I said before, you know, we are a breakfast and lunch place. So we do pride ourselves on our breakfast and, of course, on that scratch-made red and green chili that we put on those handheld burritos. You know, you can get those one for $3, two for $5 on the go if you're in a hurry. As always, we have the big smothered burritos as well to get that chili. But that's not just all that we do, guys. We have a variety of things, you know. I don't think I've talked too much about our chicken and waffles on this show before, but we do chicken and waffles here. They are a pearl sugar-coated waffle that we toast to a golden brown and serve that with the chicken fried strips. You can get hoisin sauce or jalapeno ranch or barbecue, honey mustard, a lot of different varieties of dipping sauces that go with the chicken and waffles. So just don't forget we have that. We have biscuits and gravy. We have Eggs Benedict. So we have a variety of things other than our go-to items on our breakfast menu. And we also have a variety of things on our lunch menu as well. You know, we have a variety of sandwiches, ham, turkey, chicken sandwiches. We have a variety of quesadillas. We have a chicken club quesadilla. We have a breakfast quesadillas. We have a variety of things to offer to everybody, and those things are all available from the minute we open to the minute we close. Of course, we'd love that you come on down and sit in our dining room and enjoy it with us and enjoy your time with us, but there's a variety of ways to do that. You know, you can partner up with Uber Eats and get on that application for a delivery. We have another delivery application, which is Grubhub. You can go through them. You can simply go through our website, or you can just call us, 303-798-6600. Put your order in right over the phone. Call us when you pull up. We can bring it right out to you. You don't even have to get out of the car. So just a variety of ways to do things and a variety of things to offer to everybody when they want to do it. So.
You know, Eric, we had a caller last week, and you worked with Bell and Pollock to get her some breakfast up in Wellington.
She was
thrilled, and we so much appreciate that she loves your food. And so we want to just thank you on the air for helping.
Oh, you're absolutely
working
welcome.
With us. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we love to do those things. Anything we can do to get people, you know, if they're far away like that, and you guys, you know, we have your way to get that to people. And like I said, we do have those delivery options. We have our Facebook page. We have our website. So there's just a ton of ways to do it. You know, our patio will be open. I don't know. It's like 30-something today, so I don't know if we'll get there by the time we close. But our dining room is here, and our TVs are on, and all of our specialty and novelty products are ready to go. Absolutely.
Well, I tell you what, you did the cooking, which was great, and she loved it up there. But in Bell and Pollock, we helped you with the delivery.
Right.
And it was a great team effort, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, it came out great.
Absolutely,
Eric.
Absolutely.
As does your food come out great. You know, I think I was there last week or 2 weeks ago. I forget when I was down there to eat. And everything came out perfect. We were very happy. Family of four, and you took care of us just right. We appreciate it.
Well, the thing I liked, I was down there last weekend, and that's the first time I've eaten inside in a long time. And I really, really felt comfortable. I've felt comfortable the whole thing, so congratulations. Good job.
Well, thank you. You know, and we are still doing that six-foot spacing, thinking about the comfortability. You know, we are part of that five-star program. They are watching the cases, and they're watching the vaccinations and everything, so we're trying to get to that blue level, which will give us a little more capacity and a little more comfortability out there, but we're, in the meantime, keeping everything straight and narrow with all the protocols and all of the things that Tri-County is doing. So I did see online the other day that Tri-County is going to start resuming in-dining inspections that you can get done and get scheduled. So those things out there for people that are listening, you know, those things will be coming back, and they will be double-checking on our protocols and double-checking that we are keeping things safe and comfortable for people like you. When you come in, you can feel that way. So that's
Hey, Eric, I think we got, if we can patch her through, I think we got Eva from Wellington on her right now. So Eva, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Eva from Wellington, how you doing?
Oh, you guys are so wonderful. And Ken, the courier, found my house, and it was a lovely, lovely thing that you guys set in motion for me. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Oh, I remember last week you said it was your birthday, right?
I just recently turned 76, yes.
Well, happy birthday.
And we're happy to provide that food for you, Evie. Thank you so much for thinking of us.
I'm going to try to get down there somehow. I would love to give that a try in person.
Well, you're wonderful. And Ken, our courier, had glowing reports about you and your property. Oh. And so thank you very much, man.
Well, we got your picture now, Eva. So
thank
if you show
you.
Up, we'll know who you are.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Thank you. So much.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say I was all bundled up because of the snow, and I wish it were a better picture, but at my age, I guess the fact that I exist is good.
Come on down to Denver. We'll get a great picture of you in the springtime, okay?
Oh, bless your heart. I love you guys. Thank you so much for doing the show. I love it.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call. Eric?
Yes.
Okay.
Any final words for you, buddy?
Hey, you know what? Yeah, I just want to let you guys know, when you do come down, Eva, we're at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That's in the Glendale Shopping Center, guys. And like I always say, no matter how you want to do it or how you want to get it, you want to pick it up, you want to dine in, you want it delivered, you will love it every bite of the way, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, Eric.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks. Thank you, Eva.
Yeah, thanks, Eva. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you on any legal subject. You know the drill, 303-713-8255. We're going to talk to Steve right now from Denver. Steve has a question or an issue about cancer and medical treatment. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. My wife fighting cancer for about 2.5-3 years. The doctors told her that they can cure her. And about 6 weeks ago, they prescribed this particular doctor that we went to. She prescribed her medication, which seems to me is experimental and cost me $5,000. And I'm concerned that some kind of funny business. One day they tell her that they can't cure her. Then they try to, seems to me, almost like she can use as a guinea pig.
So your wife has cancer. We're very sorry about that, 2.5 years about. And she's been on a regimen of drugs, if I'm understanding, but then the doctor wanted her to do a different procedure, different drug. Is that right?
Yeah, she had many, many chemo and all that, and I picked a different doctor than this doctor. And all the first doctor said that he can cure her. And then this last doctor said, yeah, I can cure her, you, and try to make your life as easy and convenient as I can. And this medicine, what she prescribed about 6-7 weeks ago, it's 30-day supply, actually 28-day supply, cost us $5,000. And then it don't make no sense to me. I think they're just padding their income bills and stuff like that. It's kind of sad.
Well, you know, The question is what they're trying to do. You know, if one doctor says it's terminal and there's nothing they can do, and then another doctor is saying...
All the doctors, it's terminal, and they can't cure her.
So the question is, what is the drug for? Is it to ease the pain and to deal with that?
No.
That, what is it for?
That doctor is for a body to prevent rejection of some kidney transplant or other things, and just could be used for several of these kind of things, but it's not her cancer. Doesn't have the internet. Doesn't have. Nobody can say that that's good for her cancer, against her cancer. But now she's in hospice care. And this was just happened about 6-7 weeks ago. And then the other day we just got another batch of that similar. And they tried to tell me that it's going to be free. I haven't found out yet. It came in a UPS yesterday. But she's been on a hospice for a week or a little longer.
Okay, so she's in hospice care, but you've got $5,000. Did you have to pay this $5,000 out of your pocket?
Yes. Well, the medication was $20,000 because as soon as we came from a doctor's office about 6 weeks ago, she gave me a prescription. I took it to Walgreens, and they said that be in 2 days. Because they didn't have enough shelf and storage or whatever. And then when I went back to pick it up, it said $20,000. And I said, you want me to write you a check? And then I laughed at them, you know, a little bit. And they were serious. And I said, I don't want it. And then 2 days later, they called us. They said, we have insurance approval for $5,000.
Well, this is kind of interesting because someone in your wife's condition would be making a personal preference as to whether or not they want the medication, because it sounds like it, at best it's just easing some of her symptoms.
Well,
so far I haven't been able to figure out even why they're giving her the drug.
I don't either. But no. I can't say to my wife, who's fighting for her life, now she's kind of getting settled down and into it, that she's in hospice and she understands that there's no cure. And that's the thing bugging me a little bit, that I just don't explain it. Why they do that?
Have you not been able to get the doctor to sit down and talk to you and tell you what's going on? Or has the doctor refused, saying that's just he'll only talk to your wife?
Yes, we did. I talked to her, and she was there, and the nurse was there. And I said, well, what's going on with this? And she said, we give this to the patient last.
Okay, Steve, we got a break coming up. Can you hang with us till after the break? Because we got to finish talking.
Sure.
Is that going to be okay? All right, so just stick with us, and please hold. You're listening to Bell and Pollock. Don't forget about our Champions of the People Injury Show today, 10 to 11 on 850 AM KOA. We're talking about, you know, your medical treatment. How do insurance companies look at your medical treatment when you've had an injury claim? What do they do? How do they attack it, right? And so that's that show. And then Steamboat Springs and Craig on KBCR and KRAI following this show. We're talking about Hit and Run. Everything you ever wanted to know about Hit and Run. We wrote a book called Cowards of the Street. Hit and Run. That book is free on our website, championsofthepeople.com. And then in Colorado Springs on KRDO today at 11 o'clock, we're talking about insurance coverages and damages. Bell and Pollock, Champions of the People. We'll be right back.
Hanging by a song, but the string's already broken, and he doesn't really care.
We'll be right back.
Good morning. Here we go. Grab your legal coffee, your legal bagel. Roll up your sleeves. It's Law Talk time. Bell and Pollock, the only show of its kind. 303-713-8255. 713-8255. Right before the break, we were talking to Steve from Denver about a cancer issue. His wife is in the hospice. We're sorry about that. It's terminal. Sorry about that. Very sorry. But he had a prescription for a drug from a doctor. He goes to execute the prescription. They say $20,000. And then after some discourse, they say they'll call the insurance company. They call and then he comes back, and now it's $5,000. So, Steve, you with us?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So Brad and I were talking about this over the break, and so, we're been glad to help you. Just a couple more questions, and then we'll have you leave your contact information. But so did the doctor ever explain to you, to your knowledge, what the purpose of this drug is?
Like I said, we give this to the patient last. That's the only explanation I got.
What's your wife's mental capacity? Is she able to make decisions, understand what's happening, and discuss it with the doctor?
Yes.
Okay, so, and obviously you're not there 24/7. Do you remember being there at the time that the doctor discussed it with your wife?
Yes.
So,
you're not able to drive.
Okay.
But what we're trying to figure out is the drug for pain? Is it for rehab? Is it for partial rehab? Is it for temporary something?
Well, plus, did the doctor talk to Steve's wife, and did they make that decision without Steve being involved?
Is that true, Steve?
It's very interesting because she asked a question like, you know, you want to fight this illness and all that. And she said, fight it. Yeah, I fight it. But the doctor didn't explain it, what that means to fight it. I mean, it's a very interesting statement.
Well, it's sad. It's interesting, but also very sad. So,
Yeah, I think we're going to need some more information that probably we're getting into sensitive areas now. We probably ought to do this off the air. So, Steve, leave your name and number. Let us talk to you and discuss it with you off the air. Because
I talked to you about that before.
Yes, we have talked about it before. I remember you. So let's find out what's going on. And I'm sorry your wife's in hospice care. That's a tough one.
Unfortunately, this illness is terrible and it's incurable at present time.
So sorry, I'm very sorry about that. So if we'll be glad to help you, just leave your contact information. And we'll get on with this week for you, okay?
Sure, I appreciate it.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. All right, you're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're still here for you, 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We have 6 books there. They're free. You can download an e-copy free anytime. You can also get a hard copy if you want to call our law firm. We'll be glad to send you a hard copy. We do it all the time. We have a new book coming out. It's a book on premises liability. It's a whirlwind tour of premises liability law. It's very informative. We took a little bit different approach on this book. It's got a little bit more legalese than our other books, a little bit more. It's interesting. It's got some interesting breakdowns, like on child injuries, abandoned equipment, abandoned refrigerators, trampolines, that sort of thing. So we go through that. We go through trip and fall issues, slip and fall issues. What is the law in Colorado? A little bit of the history of the law in Colorado is kind of interesting. And so we kind of took a different approach on this book. It's at the publisher. It is not on our website right now. It is not available, but it will be shortly. And so I wanted to give you a preview of that movie. Also, you know, our other 6 books are there. One of them is called Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run, because they are cowards of the street. So any of all of our books are free. And our website, as you know, championsofthepeople.com. Okay, today's subject, we were talking about, you know, sealing your criminal conviction records. And the point I want to get to before the show ends, Brad, is, the preface is you must go see an attorney. Can I just listen to our general advice on this? But not only did the statute say it was retroactive, so you can go back to other convictions previously, but also there's a statutory provision of how when you apply for a job, Brad, and they ask you the question, have you ever been convicted of a crime? Have you ever been convicted of this? And this is where we're telling you your case might differ, so you need to see an attorney. But the statute basically outlines a protocol that's favorable to the job applicant.
Right, to where you, if it's been properly sealed and if you've gone through the necessary steps and hoops, you may not be required to answer that question, or you may be able to answer it that, no, I've not been convicted. I know that sounds very contraindicated and very odd, and that's why you want to talk to an attorney about your specific situation to look at the specific statute. All that being said, and I know we're running out of time, I caution any and all of you to watch your social media, because, you know, I can't tell you how many times people put things on social media that invades their own privacy and invades their own rights and contradicts the things they may be trying to do to get their life back in order and to go forward. We find more and more in our business that people, employers, prospective employers, and people that are dealing with you will look at your social media. And so you've got to watch out what you're putting on social media. I'm not telling you to be dishonest. I'm just telling you that you open up your entire life to anybody and everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you really do. And so, the other thing is on the statute for sealing criminal records, it doesn't cover and it can't cover social media. So you could seal a criminal record, but you might have something on your social media that admitted it or said it, and that's not going to go away because employers or prospective employers are going to check that, right? They're just going to check that. So, and there's a lot of nuances as who the custodians are. Who do you give the order to once you've got it sealed? Do you give it to the police department? Do you give it to the courts? Do you give it to the probation department from your previous conviction? So a lot of questions there.
It's up to you. It's up to you on how you want to handle it.
Exactly. But social media is a killer in many respects. Bell and Pollock, our website, championsofthepeople.com. All of our information is there. Our shows are there. Our books are there. And we're here for the show every week because we are your champions of the people. See you next week.